If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Thursday, May 30th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L, Don Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker is the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Buckle up, Philadelphia. We got a good one for you today. My God, what a whirlwind day yesterday was. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Happy Thursday.
Four by four by four they go. Gregory, hello.
Hey, dude.
How you doing, pal?
Good, man.
Like that hoodie there.
Thank you. By the way, available at the 1210 WPHD merch store.
We still do the merch?
I think so.
All right. We are absolutely loaded today. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, pandering in Pennsylvania yesterday. I believe, if my math is correct, the seventh time this calendar year that the Biden administration has returned to the key battleground state of Pennsylvania. Trump jury deliberations. Yeah. I believe about 4.5 hours, and then they said, you know what, we're going home. But there's some details. There's some odd jury instructions. We'll break that all down this morning. Criminal defense attorney and also Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, bike ride sponsor David Gelman at 9:30.
Yep.
You might have seen him on a variety of television networks giving his legal analysis of this case. We'll talk to him. And also the Margate mayor and the Kelseys.
Yes.
My God. You know, I saw this video a few days ago, and we never got to it. It was never even my thought to bring it up on the show. And now that we've got a mayor involved, we'll get to the footage. We'll get to what transpired. We'll get to the apology.
You're still team Kelsey, Dawn?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you not hear my show yesterday? I talked all about this. I love the Kelseys. And Kylie, she's a mama bear.
Might have to jump back on the Kelsey train after watching that video.
See?
Uh-huh.
Well, at least the... Let's say this. At least Kylie.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at Greg.
Greg's like, I hate all of them. Cutchy coming up 7:45 and much more. Plus, two major developing stories. Rich Zeoli and I have a bet that we have made.
Oh, boy. Really?
You wanted Radio Wars, pal. I'm giving them to you now. We got a bet coming up. We'll get to those details in a little bit. And Tony Bruno, not once but twice, reinstated on X.
Wow.
That is crazy.
I got to give credit to Johnny Z at Mulligan Shore Bar.
Yeah?
Because he's the one who alerted me to it.
Is that right?
And then I saw it, and I texted Robin and Tony, and I was just like, hey, wow, this is big news. Both of your accounts are back. And they had no idea.
I've got three different dates in my mind as to when he gets banned again. we'll provide prop bets for those later in the show.
He should take the one with like the 75,000 followers and protect that one.
Yes.
Protect that one.
Like it's his child.
Yes. Use that only to promote things. Use the other one to troll people. Can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
Yeah, it would just be a world of a... It would be a different world if we stopped getting our news from social media, honestly.
Not everything needs to be on Twitter.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, jeez is right. All right, 6:04. Let's get to the news. Round number one here on this Thursday morning, the Great Dawn Stenzelin.
Yes, and good morning. We are sponsored by Style CFO Services. This Thursday morning, May the 30th, 59 degrees. We'll have the lovely forecast just ahead. A man is dead, struck by a vehicle while crossing the street in Philadelphia's Juniata Park section. Police say they're searching for that driver who took off after the fatal crash. This happened along Tarsdale Avenue, right near Hunting Park Ave, shortly before midnight. So that investigation scene continued overnight. The victim identified only as a 44-year-old man. That from police, witnesses saying that the man was mid-block while crossing Tarsdale Ave when he was struck by that small SUV that was traveling east. Officers say by the time they arrived there, they found the man lying in the street, unresponsive, got him to the hospital, rushed him there, where tragically the emergency department doctors could not save his life. And witnesses describing that striking vehicle as a multicolor, mainly blue, small SUV, possibly a Honda CR-V with extensive damage to it. Part of the bumper came off, so they have that. They're looking to, they look, it looks like they say there was work being done on that vehicle at the time, so they're trying to track that one. A lot of surveillance videos or cameras in the area, so they're looking at all of those, or they've been looking at all of those overnight. There was also, I want to follow up on a story I told you about yesterday, and that was that motorcyclist on his Harley killed in that hit and run that we talked about, with five teenagers in a stolen vehicle striking him. And even after hitting him and killing him, they kept on going for a bit, then left the car and fled on foot. And that's when police, you know, that foot chase, as we call it, ensued. Police did catch up with them. So those five teens arrested, they were in that stolen Kia. And they were being pursued by police officers. So I want to talk about that in a moment. But the gentleman who was killed, who was on the Harley, on the motorcycle, 55-year-old Wilberto Casillas, he was killed. His family is speaking out, a father, a husband, community member, hardworking man in the community, and just a real tragedy here that he was struck. The also, we're learning the driver who will be charged as an adult.
Good. That's the 17-year-old.
And that was, you had said this yesterday, Nick.
Yep.
Identified as 17-year-old Bryce Neely, was wearing an ankle bracelet at the time. And so he will be, he's charged with third degree murder, among other charges.
Bye bye, Bryce.
Wearing that ankle bracelet. But as well, I want to point out that the police who were pursuing, you know, a stolen vehicle, as well as somebody wearing an ankle bracelet, so a usual suspect, if you will. Mm-hmm. Question is, why was he released with an ankle bracelet? What are the past alleged crimes, etc.? But those officers who were in pursuit, they are put on desk duty. Because they were pursuing a vehicle.
Okay.
And so right now it's standard. I just want to point that out to you, because lately we have a trend where when we have, you know, officers in pursuit, and it happened on that other one out in Montgomery County, you know, there's a blame being put on officers when they pursue a vehicle.
Yes, and then they're under pending further investigation.
Yes.
Yep.
So just watching that.
So ankle bracelet, and the cops were in pursuit as he committed this new crime.
You call
those aggravating factors.
You would think.
Yep.
So hopefully this is not a case of blame the police. So we just want to mark that one up.
Mm-hmm.
Cape May County officials holding a press conference this afternoon in the aftermath of a chaotic Memorial Day weekend at the Jersey Shore. We talked a lot about it. So that news conference will be 4:00 this afternoon, Ocean City Music Pier, Ocean City Boardwalk. And so we'll watch that one to see, as city officials are announcing, we're told, they're going to announce new measures being taken to protect public safety on the boardwalk and across the area. This after in Ocean City was actually the most violent, in the sense that there was the stabbing of that 15-year-old boy. He continues to recover. It was just after 9 o'clock on the boardwalk. A fight had broken out. He's recovering from those non-life-threatening wounds, but nonetheless, serious stab wounds. And so we talked a lot about the rowdy teenagers down the shore, Wildwood. They had that state of emergency, shut down the Wildwood boardwalk. And in Seaside Heights, remember, false report of a shooting briefly led to panic on the boardwalk there. So we have that going on. And down the shore, which leads me to the mayor of Margate City. Do you want to talk about this later?
Yeah, we can do it both. You can just want to just highlight it or headline it.
Just highlighting it. Yesterday, you know, we showed the video and talked about this where Jason and Kylie Kelce down the shore. They love Sea Isle City. Might own a place down there. Not too sure. Wink, wink. But Margate, so they go on a date night. Mm-hmm. They have young kids.
Yeah.
A lot of you got a babysitter. You're all excited. You're all... Kylie's all dressed up in her skirt with the slit up. I mean, she's looking, you know, that's a big deal when you get a date night, especially when the kids are little. Go to Margate City.
Might only get two or three a year, Dawn.
That's right. And so this obnoxious, alleged, liquored up woman is going after them and really spouting off because Kylie doesn't, they don't want to get a picture with her. They're on a date night. They mm-hmm. want, you know,
yeah.
they want some peace.
Yeah, yeah. Give them a little private space, you know?
So it was a big interruption. Our friend Huey Dillon had recorded it and gave the, because the woman was saying, you'll never be in this Margate, you know, whatever. So they did capture it on video. Because of that, the mayor of Margate City apologizing, say, hey, date night's on me.
Gotcha.
So yeah. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. We'll break down the footage.
Yeah. Well, it's when you see the footage, you'll see what I mean when I say Kylie is the mama bear. What do they call her? The Duchess of Delco?
Is that the title?
Delco Duchess. Oh, I love it. And, of course, we'll break down Joe Biden in Philadelphia, Kamala Harris, some of the same and familiar themes that we've heard. And then we're watching, of course, because they'll be back in court today. DJT is ordered in court while the jury's deliberating in Manhattan. Got that going on.
9:30 today. Yeah. Day two of deliberations.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about our sponsor this morning and the 4-0 Phils. We were not swept in the Oracle. It's
day
Oracle
game
Park.
Dub?
So, yeah, I think that's it. They don't do well with the time zones, the late games there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that travel to the West Coast, that impacts you whether you're a baseball player or a football player.
Right?
Yeah.
A little jet lag?
Yep, absolutely.
So
I think that's the most fatiguing part about baseball is the travel. It's not the day to day of four at bats and standing around in the outfield for 3 hours. It's the travel.
See?
Yep.
Why can't they go virtual like City of Philadelphia employees?
Sherelle Parker puts the Phillies on Zoom.
I love it. Forecast today, you are gonna love that too. So we are now up to 60 degrees, heading up to 75 degrees, cool, crisp. Clear, beautiful day for you on this Thursday. Style CFO Services offers a full suite of accounting and financial services to help transform your company, big or small. Visit stylecfo.com for your free 21-point assessment. Every organization needs a financial leader. Let Style CFO Services be yours. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:12 on this Thursday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by the good people at the Piazza Auto Group. The Big Take, PA pandering. The Biden administration returned to Pennsylvania for the seventh time in 2024 alone yesterday. It was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as they visited Philadelphia on Wednesday to launch a new black voter outreach campaign. Biden and Harris were at Girard College in Fairmount, and the big guy was in pandering mode as the Democrats have to be panicked about their decline in black voter support in recent polls. In 2020, Joe Biden carried 87% of the black vote to Donald Trump's 12.5%. Most recently, in a March 2024 CBS News poll, Trump received 23% of the black vote and has consistently polled between 15 and 25% in a variety of polls for many months. Speaking of CBS, here was KYW CBS 3 in Philadelphia yesterday previewing Joe and Kamala's arrival in Philadelphia. Listen and watch.
Success could hinge on whether black voters get out and vote. Last week, Vice President Harris spoke at the Service Employees International Union's annual convention here in Philadelphia. And last month, President Biden held an event at the MLK Rec Center in North Philly. A recent poll by the Philadelphia Inquirer, New York Times, and Siena College, it shows former President Donald Trump leading Biden in Pennsylvania 47% to 44% among registered voters. The economy continues to sway voters according to polls. The majority of people in Pennsylvania said they would be financially better off with Trump back in office.
We would all be better off financially under Donald Trump. And that poll in Pennsylvania with Trump leading Biden by 3 points, if true, come November 5th, could very well be the deciding factor in the election. And we know in 2016 that Trump won Pennsylvania en route to defeating Hillary Clinton, but lost the Keystone State in 2020 to Joe Biden. But here are some of the numbers that I dug up yesterday on the four collar counties surrounding Philadelphia and how they voted in 2016 and 2020. In Bucks County, where Trump performs the best, Hillary Clinton only defeated Trump in 2016 by a grand total of 3,000 votes. But in 2020, Biden carried Bucks County by 17,000 votes. More on Bucks County in just a moment. In Chester County, Hillary won by 25,000 votes. Biden won by 54,000 votes. In Delco, Hillary won in 2016 by 63,000. Biden took Delaware County by 88,000 votes. And in Montgomery County, Trump's biggest liability, Hillary took Monco by 93,000, while Biden took it by 134,000 votes. But good news to report on the Bucks County front. As Scott Pressler tweeted yesterday, quote, "We are now 1,222 voters away from flipping Bucks County from blue to red. Last week, it was 1,496. This is a big deal," end quote. And it is. MAGA Inc. has spent 80% of its early advertising budget in swing states on Pennsylvania, which carries 20 electoral votes, the most of any of the seven swing states. But yesterday, Joe was doing what Joe does best, embellish, pander, and lie. Mix in some brain farts and some incoherent ramblings with a splash of random shouting and outbursts, and that's a Biden speech and rally. Here was the big guy basically pulling a Kathy Hochul, saying black people can't afford high-speed internet. Listen and watch this.
I promise to access affordable high-speed internet, because now internet is just as important as it was in the days of Franklin Roosevelt, electricity was generations ago. We're delivering now because no child should have to do their homework at McDonald's when things are shut down. Sit in the parking lot with their parent to get it done.
You can get high-speed internet through many providers for as low as $25 a month. How do I know? I did the research yesterday. Between New York Governor Kathy Hochul saying black kids don't know what a computer is, and Joe Biden implying that African Americans can't afford a cable modem in 2024 is disingenuous, disrespectful, and downright embarrassing. And never forget, infrastructure in America is inherently racist, right? Remember that? Mayor Pete loves to tout that nonsensical rhetoric. Here was Joe trying to regurgitate that talking point before his dial-up internet brain went kaput. Listen and watch this.
I promised we'd start to reconnect black and brown and overlooked neighborhoods cut off by highways in the 60s and decades of disinvestment as a consequence of it, including here in Philly. Well, we're changed that with the Recovery Act right now, you see all the construction going on the highways around here.
Must have been a little bit of buffering with the internet feed there. Did you get all of that? I didn't. But you know what makes this so easy to pick apart and rip to shreds? Is that the Biden administration, they love to tout race and racism and fear, but then they unite together as a united front. And granted, a lot of people in politics do that. But never forget this clip. Here was a 2020 Trump campaign ad that featured Kamala Harris slamming Joe Biden way back in the 90s for praising and coddling
racist segregationists expressing adoration for white supremacists and pointing out how Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill led to black men being incarcerated at alarmingly high rates. Listen and watch this.
What bothered you?
Praising and coddling individuals who made it their life works and built their reputation off of segregation of the races in the United States. That's a problem.
To coddle the reputations of segregationists, of people who, if they had their way, I would literally not be standing here as a member of the United States Senate, is, I think, it's misinformed and it's wrong.
Should he apologize for that?
He's going to have to make that decision. But, you know, let's be very clear that the senators that he is speaking of with such adoration are individuals who made and built their reputation on segregation. The Ku Klux Klan celebrated the election of one of them. So this is a very serious matter. That 1994 crime bill, it did contribute to mass incarceration in our country. It encouraged and was the first time that we had a federal three strikes law. It funded the building of more prisons in the states.
And Kamala Harris is not a friend to the black community either. You can look up her record as a prosecutor in the Bay Area. They built prisons because of her. Check out her conviction rate for drug offenses. And I saw a great tweet yesterday from a black man whose name is Bile Holte. He says in his profile that he is MAGA, but he is not a Republican. He claims to be anti-Democrat. And he posted this on Twitter, which I thought was great, and I think it really highlights just how absurd the Democrats are. And I think more black voters than ever will read this, hear this, and nod along in agreement. He writes, 9 reasons why I would never vote Democrat. Number 1, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer kneeling while wearing kente cloth. Number 2, Hillary Clinton reciting, quote, I don't feel no ways tired with a black southern drawl. Number 3, Hillary Clinton telling black radio stations that she carries hot sauce in all of her purses. Number 4, AOC speaking in blackcent at an Al Sharpton event. Number 5, Joe Biden telling Charlemagne the God that he wasn't black if he didn't vote for him. Number 6, Kathy Hochul saying that black people don't know how to use computers. Number 7, Kamala Harris saying that black people cannot use Xerox machines. Number 8, black people don't know how to get IDs. And number 9, everything Joy Reid says. Quote, they simply don't respect me or my intellect, end quote. Now, I have no idea what percentage of black voters agree with that sentiment, but I would take it to the bank. It's far more sizable than it was in 2016 and again in 2020. The New York Times with the following headline on May 18th, quote, in his beloved Philadelphia, Biden faces wariness from black voters. Here's one excerpt. Quote, in interviews with nearly 24 voters in predominantly black neighborhoods in Philadelphia this week, as well as with elected officials and strategists, signs of softness in Mr. Biden's standing were palpable. Just 8 voters out of the 24 said they were committed to voting for Mr. Biden, while many others were committed to staying home or supporting Donald Trump. Just 8 out of 24. That's 33%. Granted, small sample size for sure. But that's why Biden and Harris are here so constantly. And they were here again in Philadelphia yesterday. Because the black vote at an 87% rate in 2020 is not going to happen again in 2024. This time around, the black vote is no sure thing. And they know it. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, where power meets innovative design in the 2024 Acura model lineup. You can get great special financing at 1.9% APR for 36 months on the new MDX, RDX, and Integra. Visit Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, or PiazzaAcura.com today. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHD. And, of course, in the Kale & Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com/@1210WPHD and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some thoughts on Joe and Kamala here yesterday in Philadelphia. And then also Trump jury deliberations. Day number 2 resumes at 9:30 the oddities and absurdities from yesterday with Judge Juan Merchan and how long the jury took to deliberate and the questions that they still have. We'll get to that, all of that, as we continue this morning. It's Kale and Company, Thursday morning, back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Rise and shine, everybody. Let's go. We have a lot to break down this morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, 855-839-1210. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. The playlist continually. The jukebox in the hands of Brian Kester, King Shooter Supply and King of Prussia, as he donated $500 to the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. Nice work out of him. He'll have more of the music tomorrow and maybe even Monday. But let's get to the Trump trial. As jury deliberations right around lunchtime yesterday, they go about 4.5 hours. They cannot arrive and come to a conclusion in agreement as to what's going on. You get two issues and two questions from the jury that arose. And now the jury needs to review more of the testimony. And one of the most, I don't know if this is outrageous, outlandish, I'm not sure what adjective best describes it, but I've never heard of a judge telling the jury in jury instructions, like what Judge Juan Merchan did yesterday, that they do not need to have a unanimous verdict in order to convict Donald Trump. And we're going to get to this 4x4x4 ruling in just a moment. And I tweeted this yesterday, and I asked our buddy David Gelman, who's going to join us at 9:30 this morning, criminal defense attorney. I said, I'd love to know how often this type of jury instruction from a judge is given. Is this a common occurrence? And David said it's as common as Joe Biden putting together a full sentence. The issue is one of many rulings that the judge has made totally incorrectly and would be reversed. You're going to hear from Andy McCarthy coming up in just a moment. But I do want to highlight a couple of things that Jonathan Turley said in his latest column yesterday afternoon with The Hill, where he's talking about this Manhattan case. And he says the following. At the start of closing arguments, most honest observers were still wondering what the prosecutors were alleging as to the crime that Trump was allegedly concealing with the falsification of business records. Then came closing arguments. In the case of Judge Juan Merchan, this protection was all but absent as the prosecution engaged in flagrant violations from offering testimony on unestablished facts to directly contradicting prior judge instructions. In one of the most egregious moments, prosecutor Joshua Steinglass told the jury that it is an established fact that former President Trump's counsel Michael Cohen committed a federal election law violation on the direct orders of Donald Trump. Merchan had repeatedly said that Cohen's earlier plea could not be used to imply the guilt of Mr. Trump. Merchan overruled an objection, and Steinglass proceeded, as he did earlier in the trial, to repeat these false statements. So then Turley goes on to say the following. Going into the deliberations, the court allowed the jury to be told repeatedly that there were federal campaign violations committed by Trump. Quote, that is not true. However, the instructions then went in for the kill and turned the jury deliberations into a canned hunt. Consider just a few highlights from the curious aspects of these deliberations. And this is the big issue yesterday. This is the big sticking point in this whole finality of this case. First, the judge has ruled that the jury does not have to agree on what actually occurred in the case. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. What do you mean the jury does not have to agree? What country, what world are we living in? Merchan ruled that the government had vaguely referenced three possible crimes that constitute, quote, the unlawful means used to influence the election, a federal election violation, the falsification of business records, and a tax violation. Translation, as long as a juror says Trump did one of these three, they can all arrive at the conclusion that this is a unanimous guilty verdict. The jurors were then told that they could split on what occurred, with four jurors accepting each of the three possible crimes in a 4x4x4 split. The court would still consider that a unanimous verdict so long as they agree that it was in furtherance of some crime. to which we still don't know what that crime is because the prosecution hasn't even proven that or even elaborated as to what that is. Let's play this. This is K1, Andy McCarthy, yesterday outside of the courthouse in Manhattan. I believe he was on with Harris Faulkner on Fox News, talking about this kind of startling revelation. And Andy McCarthy is a former federal prosecutor. You can listen to what he has to say about what Mershon instructed the jury that they have the right to do. Listen and watch this clip.
Well, let me ask you about the three choices. And one thing in particular that this judge said that these jurors could do. He just delivered what is being called really the pinnacle of all of this. He said that there is no need to agree on what has occurred. They can disagree on what the crime was among the three choices. Thus, this means that they could split 4-4-4 and the judge would still treat them unanimously. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's really outrageous because in a normal criminal case, every statutory crime has what we call elements of the offense. Like in a bank robbery case, it's, you know, you have to rob, it's got to be a financial institution, you have to show intent. Those are the things the jury has to agree on unanimously that they were proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, what we're doing is taking the element that actually makes this a felony, because remember, falsification of records is normally a misdemeanor in New York. What makes it a felony is that you're concealing or committing another crime. And here the judge is telling them they don't have to agree about what the other crime is under circumstances where that not only is what makes this a felony, what makes it a four-year potential prison penalty rather than a year or less, but it's also what gets us into the courtroom, because if this had been a misdemeanor, the time to bring this case would have lapsed in 2019. So the only reason they're still able to bring this case is because it's a felony, allegedly, and yet now the judge is saying, you know, you don't have to agree on what the felony is.
Dawn, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think that clip yesterday occurred at 11:08 a.m., so a lot of this probably unfolding as you were on the air. I have never seen anything like this, and I thought this whole case was a very, very big stretch to begin with, and it just took a step further in that direction, in my opinion. Don't know.
Yeah, I think that this is all, you know, we've talked a lot about Matthew Colangelo, who was, you know, used to work for the Biden administration, and he's kind of leading this as the prosecutor. So this is his brainchild. He has figured out that if you do like a miss, it's kind of like a mix and match situation. So it's the predicate crime, but you can mix and match these. And so I know that this was part of the huge argument a week ago when they were going through the judge's instructions, what they could and could not do, and the defense had argued that jurors should have to agree on a single predicate offense. That's the norm. But this was prosecutor Matthew Colangelo. He said, no, the law does not actually require that. We don't have to rewrite things. And so that was that court proceeding that was a week ago and I think that's why they knew. I hope at that point they just started writing their appeals case.
Mm-hmm. Right,
because
right.
To me, I think any of the counts, and then I was thinking about the signature, because there are checks written, then there are receipts. Yesterday they wanted to, and so some of them Trump, at least nine of them Trump signed. But then I would say, well, yeah, he's signing things for his lawyer. But will they look at that? And that's part of the reason yesterday morning I was saying I think there could be this mixed verdict because of this. Because truthfully, I think it's so darn confusing and that's what they want, is to confuse. But also, it just tees them up for the appeal, people.
All they want is some element of a conviction because they want to be able to say convicted felon Donald J. Trump. Because that's stigmatizing. People see that, read that, hear that. They say, oh, my God, a president, convicted felon. It carries a label. It carries a negative connotation. That's the whole objective here. It's not necessarily putting Trump away for the rest of his life, letting him die in prison. It's all about doing whatever they can to manipulate people's thought process and say, oh, you know what? I can't vote for a convicted felon. I guess I'll just vote for Joe Biden. So I think this is just and there's so many things to pick apart here. If Trump is found guilty of X, Y, or Z, we're going to get into that and what that means. If there's a hung jury, we're going to get into that as to what that means. And also what type of impact a guilty verdict to any extent will have on the polls and ultimately for Trump with his reelection campaign. David Gelman, who's going to join us at 9:30, said this yesterday. The judge should have dismissed the case in its face alone. He just ripped up the Constitution and made an absolute mockery of the legal system. And if you're looking at this, and maybe you're not living this day by day like the rest of us are, in fact, I think a lot of people have already made up their mind who they're going to vote for, and a lot of people are not consuming the play-by-play and the updates of the trial as it plays out through a variety of websites or Twitter feeds that you follow. Just to kind of give you a recap of when we talk about, you know, as Trump would say, a sham trial. There's a great breakdown here of 11 bullet points from beginning to end of this trial as to show you and illustrate what Donald Trump has been dealing with. So first of all, you have a Soros-funded DA in Alvin Bragg, who elevated a misdemeanor to a felony despite lowering 60% of all felonies in his jurisdiction down to misdemeanors. The lead prosecutor, who I think you were just referencing, Dawn,
Michael Colangelo
resigned his position as the third highest ranking member of the Biden DOJ to join Alvin Bragg's team that's going after Trump. The judge donated to Joe Biden and has a daughter who raised millions of dollars for the Democrats off of Trump prosecutions. The other lead prosecutor is also a donor to Joe Biden. The lead witness that the whole case relies on is a convicted perjurer and serial liar. That's Michael Cohen. The judge has put a gag order on Trump for pointing out the political conflicts of interest of the people prosecuting him. The, quote, crime relies on the idea that Trump paid off Stormy Daniels to conceal another crime, which is not mentioned in the indictment, which David Gelman mentions. There's no mention of the crime in the indictment. The judge barred Trump's defense from explaining to the jury that no campaign finance violation occurred, but allowed prosecutors to assert as fact that it did occur, and their closing argument. And then the judge has cleared out the courtroom when Michael Cohen's former attorney was exonerating Trump, but allowed the prosecution to bring in Stormy Daniels to talk about whether or not Trump used a condom. Those are some of the main recaps so far. And the judge has also barred a former federal elections campaign commissioner from testifying that Donald Trump did nothing wrong. And the judge is allowing the jury to not have to reach a unanimous verdict on the underlying unnamed crime that Trump committed. There's, if you've been in a cave since Easter, that's what you missed so far. And yet there's going to be some people in this country that are going to be like, lock him up, lock him up. I'm sorry, if you have an ounce of objectivity, you're looking at this case and you're like, okay, there might be a guilty verdict. But my God, what an embarrassment that will be for this country.
Yeah, and just to equate this, I just think that the Matthew Colangelo, and they've talked a lot about it. It's like Martha McCallum leaving Fox News and coming here to anchor a local Philadelphia show. That's what that's like. Going from DOJ, from a huge job at DOJ, and to work with assisting DA Bragg in New York. Why would you do that? To me, that right there is a smoking gun, that you have the Biden administration orchestrating this whole persecution. And so I mean, I know that Jim Jordan and the House, you know, committee, House Judiciary, they called for all the back and forth and the communication, but that was what, like a week ago or 10 days ago? I just think, again, I just feel like they should have been doing that the moment Colangelo was put in charge of this thing, which was, I mean, they've been plotting this.
Yeah.
That was maybe early 2023 or 2022. So this was all TikTok. This was the plot. And so I just feel like the Republicans, the House Republicans, were late to the party on this.
Shocking.
All this is going to come out. We're going to hear all the documents. We're going to, and by the way, where's the investigation? If we want to talk about Pecker and what he did, which was try to kill stories, well, why don't we put the two together and say, oh, who else tried to kill a major story for political reasons? Mm-hmm. Oh, the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at Miranda Devine. She's so angry.
Yeah, I know.
You know, she's writing about that. But seriously,
yeah.
People kill stories and get stories killed all the time. It happens locally. It happens nationally. It happens all the time. The fact that they put all this out here together and now they're rewriting the way that a jury can decide somebody's fate for alleged felony crimes, this is a travesty of justice.
It is. And there's also a precedent that's being set that I think is very scary and very dangerous. And to be honest, and partisan politics aside, I don't want to see a Republican judge or prosecutor or in a red county do this to a Democrat when the Democrat hasn't done anything wrong, or there's no established precedent of going after a Democrat president. I don't want to live in a nation where we are going after presidents over petty things like this. Call it what you want, a bookkeeping error, a clerical mistake, killing a story, whatever it is. Could you just imagine this? Imagine we lived in a world in 2008 or 2012 where a red state with a Republican or conservative prosecutor campaigned on going after Barack Obama and tried to bring down Barack Obama. Could you imagine the media outrage that there would be in this country and all the connotations of racism and integrity and a corrupt system and the whole bit? Could you imagine that? But on this side, and to the credit of these legal analysts on all the networks, from MSNBC to CNN to Fox and everywhere in between, overwhelmingly, most people, whether they're a former federal prosecutor, criminal defense attorney, judge, anybody with an ounce of knowledge of the legal system, has almost unanimously shredded this case, except for, I think, one guy on MSNBC who yesterday said that he's got a man crush on Judge Juan Merchan or something, which, you know, there goes his credibility. But so that's kind of the recap of where we stand. And we'll also get into, on the other side and after Dawn's news in the 7 o'clock hour, what a guilty verdict means, what a hung jury means, and how that plays out, and whether or not Alvin Bragg, unless he gets a unanimous conviction, would be able to again retry the case if a mistrial is deemed valid. We'll get to that as we continue. 855-839-1210, Kale and Company, back after this.
Celebrating 30 years, award-winning local business, Mike and Mark Chapman. Chapman Windows, Doors, Siding, Stucco Remediation, they do it all. And if you're thinking about maybe a little bit of a home makeover, whether it's your front door, I have some family members, they said, you know, we hate our front door. When I call Chapman, Mike Chapman came out, you know, just giving them estimates, giving them ideas because they have an irregular sized door. That's what Chapman is all about. Whether it's one window, whether it's all your windows, siding, stucco remediation, they do it all and they do beautiful work. They take pride in their work. You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. I just want to add on that list and make sure you know about stucco remediation. It's something you hear in the news, but I would trust nobody else with this important investment in your home. And the certified Chapman installers are the professionals you want on the job. And think about this, updating it with James Hardie Plank, or maybe all the beautiful choices that they offer with vinyl siding. It's going to add value and beauty to your home. So just give them a call. You can text. They're listening. They're local. They're like-minded. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. Online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Take a virtual tour. See those before and after photos. I love those. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.